You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
About 40% of Canada's petrochemical industry is located in the immediate vicinity of the city of Sarnia, and the Omjunung First Nation Reserve, an area that is sometimes referred to as Chemical Valley. Shell Canada, Imperial Oil, and Suncor Energy, along with chemical companies such as Nova Chemicals, Bayer, and Dow Chemical, all operate refineries and plants in the area. Pollution from these industries is severely threatening the health of the people of Sarnia. Ada Lockridge and Ron Plain are members of the Omjunung Nation, and they, along with non-profit environmental law firm EcoJustice, recently decided to take Ontario's Ministry of Environment to court over the cumulative impacts of pollution in the area. Ada Lockridge joins me by phone this morning from Sarnia. Hello, Ada.
Good morning.
Now, you're arguing that the ongoing pollution in Sarnia is a violation of your basic human rights. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, we all have a right to breathe fresh air, and the Charter is the highest law in Canada and would override any government legislation or regulatory decisions to permit pollution. We have numerous kinds of, I don't, if you've ever heard of the Bucket Brigade, it's global community monitoring. They're from California. We were the 19th country for them to help out, but we were the first in Canada to use this, where we take a sample of the air, a grab sample, and what they do is we send that sample back to California. They test for something like 88 different chemicals or toxins. And then the global community monitoring people would look up standards that are acceptable in the states, and then EcoJustice would look up the standards in Canada or Ontario, and we were finding out that there is no standards for some of these chemicals, even here. But what we found was chloromethane, benzene, chlorobenzene, ethylbenzene, carbon disulfide, carbon sulfide, ethanol, hydrogen sulfide, isopropyl alcohol. I can't even pronounce some of this stuff. So it does prove that we are picking up this stuff out in the air while we're out there breathing. Some of these days, it was just a nice clear day, and we were just taking a background sample, and these are things that were found on a nice normal day that we didn't know what anything was going on.
And what kind of impacts are you noticing?
Well, we did a door-to-door health survey on the First Nation here, and we pretty much pulled the whole reserve. And we found high respiratory problems, asthma in adults and children, severe chronic headaches, learning and behavioral problems, a lot of miscarriages and stillbirths, skin rashes, high blood pressure, and lack of elders.
It sounds like you're paying an extremely high price to stay in your home community. Can you explain to me what that land means to you?
Well, we were kind of placed here. The government decided that we should live on little tracts of land. And for us, well, my house is paid for. I have lived here most of my life. But you know, my great-great-grandfather was here. Everybody's here. Our cemetery is here. And it's not only the First Nation. It's all the way downwind of the chemical plants. There's people living all along. That's why it's not a native issue. It's all the people who live along there and breathe this and drive through every day. They don't know what they're being exposed to as they're driving by.
I want to shift the focus to talk about the lawsuit. Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, it targets the Ontario government's ongoing approval of pollution in the valley. Why are you focusing on the provincial government as opposed to the industry?
Well, provincial is the one who regulates and tells industry what to do. We have heard over and over again that industry is only following the guidelines and the regulations set out by the government. Industry always says that it's not economically viable to use the best equipment, the best technology out there. And when they say that, that means the government is not making them do it, so they're not going to dish out the money to do it. So we have written letters. The Environment Commissioner of Ontario was here to talk about jurisdictional issues because we're on federal lands, there's provincial lands, there's municipal lands, and all this kind of stuff that surround us. So we were all kind of confused on that, but we have written two letters to the Ministry of Environment talking about how they allow or approve certificates of approval for them to put this stuff out into the air, and that we have concerns, and for them to study the cumulative impacts on the pollution around us. Done an application for review to the government, and it's just things are happening, but they're stalling, and things aren't happening. They're not doing it, and here they are approving Suncor to release even more out to the air.
So a really important change of policy for you then would be to include the cumulative effects rather than just having a standard for what's released.
Most definitely. Now, I've seen some of the news articles on the internet, and then there was somebody, I'm assuming they were from industry, and they were talking about our impacts, the cumulative impacts, but what about the workers that are in there and working it? They are exposed to it more, and I agree with that. I totally believe that, too. But where is it safe to live, though? You know, people talk about us, why don't we pack up and leave? Well, where is it safe? Because that pollution is not just sitting here. It is moving, and it's going somewhere, wherever way the wind's direction. So, you know, it's better, because I know the Ministry of Environment's toxicologist said to me, Ada, would it be better if we start thinking about picking you up and moving you? And I said, well, would you have to pick up South Sarnia all the way down to Wallaceburg and move all of them too? Wouldn't it be easier for you guys to put stronger stuff down onto the industry, make them recapture that, you know, recycle, quit letting it just off into the air, or maybe even get rid of some of those toxin stuff that they know are carcinogens and that are going to kill us.
What did you do before you got to the point where you decided to bring it to court?
What have we done? Well, I've been at this since 2002, 2003. So first of all, I was learning what chemicals these plants even hold. Then learning what those chemicals can do to you. Now, everything is known where you can know what that chemical is and what it, your material safety data sheet, what parts or organs or whatever it's going to affect in your body, but there's no studies on the mixture of these chemicals, what they can do to you. And that's one of my biggest concerns, but it is having to learn all of this. So I've met with the provincial government. I've met with the federal government. I've met with industry. I've met with the MOE. I've met with scientists and doctors and reporters and everything. And everybody kept saying all along, why isn't there a class action suit happening? But, you know, that all costs money. And we found EcoJustice, and they're willing to work with us and find the money to keep this going. I don't have that kind of money to fight industry. And, you know, we were always told, you can't fight industry, you can't fight government. But you can. But you have to get out there, you have to speak up, and you have to say it out loud.
This is being referred to as a landmark lawsuit. What kind of precedent do you hope it will set?
Well, that they take cumulative effects into account when they're approving certificates of approval.
Well, the best of luck with your lawsuit, and we will keep in touch. And thank you so much for talking to us this morning, Ada.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Ada Lockridge. She's a member of the Armnajung First Nation in Sarnia, and she's one of the plaintiffs of a lawsuit which alleges the Ontario Ministry of the Environment's ongoing approval of pollution in Sarnia violates basic human rights.